Welcome to this edition of Eating Fresh on Bainbridge with our guest Joe Pulicicchio, Director of Promotions and Produce and Floral for Town and Country Markets. This is brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Joe, it's halfway through March, still a bit chilly outside, but spring is certainly in the air. While at the market yesterday, I noticed a nice selection of citrus, especially navel oranges, which are one of my favorite. But I know we're kind of through citrus season, but kind of winding down, but there's still some nice things there.
Well, you're kind of winding down. Peak of citrus season is actually February and March.
Oh, okay.
And it will run well into April. We are a little challenged. If you've been paying attention to the weather in California,
yeah.
Rain is not good for citrus during harvest. It is really rough, especially in the organic category, because they do not treat for mildew. When you have an abundance of water and you get a little heat and then water and then heat and then water, you grow mildew in the field. And, you know, that stuff really makes that fruit break down fast. So citrus has been a challenge this year. It's been a rough year. We've got some great stuff.
Yeah.
But we do have to pick and choose and really work hard and work, you know, with our partners and stuff as kind of like, where are we at? Where should we go? You know, what variety should we commit to and what should we let go of this year just because, you know, might not be doing so well on that variety. That particular variety might have got hit real hard.
Yeah.
And so they kind of steer you around that. So.
Gotcha. Another thing I noticed that we talked a little bit about last month, there was a really nice selection of grapes.
Yes.
Really some beauties.
Real beautiful grapes and getting better.
Okay.
Now we, you know, I want to do some little bit of explaining about grapes.
Sure.
Because, you know, people come in and they see, you know, we've got grapes right now and they're all out of South America and we get them out of Peru and we get them out of Chile and that's your winter growing season. Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
They are at the end of their summer growing season. Mm-hmm. So right now in their area, you're at an equivalent of what August would be in the Northern Hemisphere.
Okay.
So when we will move into California, Mexico, California, and all of that, we will move into those grapes in May. That will be the beginning of the season. Beginning of the season aren't always the best. You really got to work hard to find the good ones. But as you move towards the end of the season, the better varieties, the better size, the better quality, that all happens again in California. Right now, we happen to be at the tail end of the Peru and Chilean grape growing season for grapes. And in fact, next week, we have some jumbo, pristine, green seedless grapes coming. They will be diamonds. You know, and then we will have beautiful grapes. Really, that's the big fruit to talk about right now. Last half of March and the month of April, it's the time for grapes.
Oh, okay.
And it's the same thing we'll talk about when we come to early August and we say, hey, it's the end of the California season. And guess what? Grapes are going to be fantastic for August and September. They'll be the best they are.
Those are the kind of grapes that really pop in your mouth.
Yeah.
Explode with sweetness.
And when I talk about flavor on a product, I always include texture.
Mm.
I think texture is important in the eating experience.
Yeah.
And so in grapes, you know, we've all had grapes and they're like, for me, cotton candy is a good grape. I don't particularly like it because it's kind of soft. The texture's not that crispy, crunchy, you know, it's got great sweet flavor, but it's not, the texture's missing. But for me, these grapes that we will be getting now and through the month of April, they will all be nice, big, crispy, sweet, crunchy grapes so that they do pop. And okay. We always source to try to get the biggest grapes we can get because now's the time that you can get something that's a little different than your average.
Yeah. I always think about those nice, big, cool grapes that you pop in your mouth as a great dessert. You know, they make a wonderful dessert. And, of course, a snack during the day. For sure.
Well, yeah, nothing easier and quicker than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, what's going on? We talked a little bit about another thing last month. We talked about asparagus a bit.
We did talk about asparagus, and I was talking about how we were into some challenges with the Mexico new crop, you know.
Yeah.
Mexico has a southern growing area and northern growing area, and then you move to California. We were hoping to move like we did last year. We were able to move to peacock asparagus out of California by this time, basically March, middle March. Unfortunately, this year, with if you've been watching the news, all this rain and cold weather, I mean, we had snow in L.A. Yeah. just 10 days ago, I believe it was. They actually had snow down in Los Angeles. So the temperatures are cooler. Rain is not good for inspiring it. Asparagus grows very well in the spring when it starts to get those warmer temperatures during the day, and even warm nights are almost more important. And then it really picks up. And talking with Steve Smith from Turlock Farms, we work with him to do his peacock label asparagus, and we've been trying to get it. He's been saying, "No, wait, we got to wait. And even as early as just 10 days ago, he was saying, "Yeah, I think by April 1st, we'll be able to do it by April 1st this year." And talked to him yesterday, and he said, "Unfortunately, it's going to be the 6th, 7th, maybe even the 8th this year of April before we're going to get that California asparagus." So for Easter this year, we will be pulling asparagus out of Mexico. Pretty much everybody has to at this time of year.
Yeah.
But the good thing is what we are getting out of Mexico has been absolutely beautiful. It's the right size. It's not too small and thin.
Yeah.
It's sweet. And the temperatures haven't been overly hot in Mexico either, but they're hot enough. So once, you know, that's the big thing about asparagus out of Mexico. When you go too late into the spring, it's so hot that stuff's growing really, really fast.
Yeah.
And it gets thinner, which thinner grass is not the best. And the flavor it gets tired.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so that's why we look forward to moving to the peacock in California, which we will do as soon as we can.
I noticed about asparagus, like we grow some in our own gardens, and I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, you're standing there and whammo, there's some asparagus. Yeah. It grows very fast.
Very fast. In fact, when you get into the growing areas of Eastern Washington, California, Mexico, Peru, all of them, when they're in their peak season and the temperatures are right, mm-hmm. they harvest twice a day a lot of times, because in the morning they'll go through and there's only so many that are ready to pick. So as they walk through, you pick them one at a time. To me, it's backbreaking work to pick asparagus. You got to bend over and walk. And there might be some that are maybe 3-4 inches long, but they're not ready to pick yet. Well, you can come back just 5 hours later, and that thing might be 7, 8, 9 inches long.
Yeah, amazing.
They can grow 3 inches a day.
Yeah.
In if the temperature and the conditions are right. So yeah, they do.
Well, it sounds. I'm looking forward to it. Asparagus soup is on my preliminary menu.
Well, it's the primary thing we're trying to get, you know, procure and promote for Easter. It's always a great Easter item.
Sure.
For that, so. There are years that we struggle depending on when Easter falls for the transition. Mm-hmm. We thought we were golden on California asparagus for the timing of it, like we were last year. But the weather has kind of pushed the season back about 3 weeks out of California.
You mentioned Turlock Farms just a little while ago, aren't they? Isn't he your melon guy too?
Yep.
Or one of them?
He is, in my opinion, the best melon grower there is. Mm-hmm. He still grows for flavor. He stills old traditional ways to grow and harvest. He has a proprietary seed an Italian seed for his, what we're calling his heirloom cantaloupe. And it's Italian seed. And we could have given it a weird fancy name, but really it's an heirloom style cantaloupe. It's absolutely awesome. He still is the last grower, I believe. I don't even know if he can get the seed anymore this year, but I know last year he was talking about he was still able to find the seed for the traditional full-slip cantaloupe, which mm-hmm. most people don't understand full-slip, and I've explained it several times. We've talked about it.
Yeah, go for it again.
Yeah, full-slip is that not only do you look for the shell color being a nice golden color, which isn't always an indication of a good cantaloupe. Good cantaloupe can have that green cast to it. But that cantaloupe, you have to pick the field and only pick the melons that are ripe. And the way they tell they're ripe is that the stem end, where the stem attaches, will slip right off.
Ah, okay.
So when you look at a cantaloupe that has part of the stem is still attached, like they had to yank it off, probably picked too early.
Mm.
Well, that theory doesn't apply to the cantaloupes that virtually every other grower grows now. And they do it because of labor. They do it. Labor is expensive. Finding labor is expensive.
Sure.
So a lot of the cantaloupes that are grown today, it's called a hardy cantaloupe. There's several varieties of it. But they're grown so they can harvest the entire field all at once. It holds on the vine longer. The field generally ripens about the same time.
Yeah.
And then they can go in and pick the whole thing. The challenge with that, the benefit of it is you pick it once and you don't have to know anything about what you're picking. You just pick it. Mm. So you don't have to have an eye for what you pick up. You don't have to have a feel for what you pick up. You can have a crew that just goes in and picks the whole field. You do, however, get a range of ripeness, of flavor.
Ah.
So you'll get some that are absolutely peak flavor. You get some that might be a little bit too much and some that might be a little bit too underripe. They'll all be good, but they won't all be great.
Okay.
And that's the difference in the deal. Whereas the full slip cantaloupe, which I know he was talking, they were going to talk about discontinuing the seed. It takes experience to pick it. And the way he was picking it, he would have certain people that have been with him a long time. They go through the field. There might be three cantaloupe kind of right in the same vicinity, but only one of them's really ready.
Uh-huh.
And they know it by the initial look, just the slightest difference in color they can tell. And then they check by as they pick it up, how that stem comes off tells them whether, oh, well, this one's not ready. And they set it back down. What they do is they set it out in the aisleway and a whole other crew comes through and picks the ones that are set out in the row.
Oh, I see.
They pick those up.
Ah, okay.
They leave the others and they come back 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, depending on the weather, and they pick that same field.
And they slip right off.
Yep, and they pick again. Yeah. So it does take up to three times to harvest a field of that particular variety.
When do those melons show up on the shelf?
We will start getting Turlock cantaloupe. Generally, if the seasons are on time, the last week or two in June, but for sure by July is when we'll start. And we will usually start with cantaloupe and his honeydew. And then each week we'll get the other varieties. The orange honeydew will come, which personally is my favorite melon there is. That'll be here in July. And then we'll add a few varieties and we go great guns and varietal melons till about the middle of August. And then they start to taper off.
Yeah. That honeydew you described has a smooth skin, right?
Yes. Smooth yellow skin. It can have some blotchiness on the outside. And personally, the best eating ones have that blotchiness. The ones that are too perfect and creamy color on the outside, they eat really well. But the orange honeydew is really, really good. And the easiest way to pick a honeydew of any kind is it gets that, the outside kind of, when you put your hand on it, it starts to get tacky, gets sticky.
Ah.
If it's still really slippery and, you know, real firm, then it's probably not ready.
Ah, okay, little tips.
But we got a ways to go for that.
Yeah, okay. One last question about these kinds of melons. And I know we talked about it when we were first doing this a couple of years ago. I grew up in eastern Iowa. We call cantaloupe musk melon.
Musk melons are grown in Washington. They don't really grow a musk melon. They also call those melons that you were probably getting back then Athenas.
Oh, okay. I don't
Athena was the variety. They're more... To me, they're more squash than melon.
Oh, okay.
They are super, super sweet. They're just not viable for commercial production.
Okay.
Because they really have to come right from your local market into your store. You have to sell them within just a day or two, or they ferment. Tough to work with. We worked for a while with a local grower, and just eventually we just had to walk away because a lot of times the melons, they were fantastic when they arrived, and the next day they were fermented.
We'll wait for those perfectly slipped melons on your shelves here.
The one to get excited about is coming up towards the end of April, early May, is that it's it's a Black Hawk. It's a black watermelon.
Really?
Dark, dark green on the outside watermelon. Yeah. They're going to be really good this year. They were really good last year. They'll be really good this year.
Last week, maybe, or maybe 10 days ago, I saw a bunch of melons in the store, smaller.
Yeah, mini melons.
Mini melons.
Personal melons. Those are always a work.
Oh, okay.
Every time. I mean, they were awesome. So we decided to promote them because they were just so good.
Yeah.
And they were really good. And then all of a sudden, we got a couple of shots that came in that weren't so good. Right. And it's just like that with that melon. It's like that with watermelon. It's like you got to jump on them when they're good, and then you got to watch them because the next time you get them, they might not be so good. And it's almost like as you come to the end of a growing area, you got to get really careful.
Yeah, I bet.
And the thing about watermelon that I learned recently, which surprised me after 40 years of this business, you still learn something, was watermelon do not do well if you hold them below 55 degrees.
Really?
Yeah, it will actually, especially the mini melon, it can actually take a crispy, firm melon and turn it mushy in hours.
Oh, my.
So we try to keep them in the back rooms and not put them in refrigeration. And they hold better that way. Personally, I like to eat a watermelon that's been chilled.
Yeah.
So the idea is chill it overnight, eat it, and then eat it.
Okay.
Well, don't leave it in the refrigerator for 4 days and then go there and go, wow, this didn't eat so great.
Okay. Good tip on watermelons for sure. Okay. We've covered a few things here. What else is kind of happening right now, middle of March, looking towards the end of the month, coming up to April?
Right now, I would say I would recommend the Magnificent Cantaloupe that we have. It's actually called the Magnificent Variety. Not everybody carries it. I noticed that Costco caught onto it, so they do have it in their deal. It's probably why it's making it hard for us to get it, because a big player like a Costco comes in, they gobble up everything in the marketplace. But we do have it, and it's consistent. Now, it is not quite as soft a melon as a normal traditional cantaloupe would be. But it has fantastic flavor. Mm-hmm. It has a nice golden shell color. So the cantaloupe is eating really well right now. Again, we talked a lot about the honey manila mango.
Oh, that's
right. That is just coming into its own. It's eating really well right now. It's just going to get better as we move into April. So it just gets better from here on out on that item. But again, right now, the big thing in there is grapes. Grapes are... For the next few several weeks, 4, 5, 6 weeks, grapes are the biggest item when it comes to fruit.
Yeah.
The only thing I would mention right now is because of all this rain in California, right now the best option is organic strawberries. They are grown in a different region than where the – in fact, we're getting our organic strawberries out of Mexico. I know everybody goes, oh, that's all bad. Well, they're exceptionally good. They're grown by the same companies that we get, whether they're grown on – 3 miles across the border or 3 miles north of the border, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
They're excellent quality, and we are going to see a lot of problems with conventionally farmed strawberries because we're at that time of year where this all has to move north to the Watsonville area. As you go into April, strawberries move to the Watsonville area. The organic tend to remain further south for a lot longer and are grown out on the coast more. As you move more inland, it gets hotter, it gets tougher.
Sure.
But the big problem this year is all that rain you've been hearing about in California has caused a lot of damage, and some of it has been damage that they won't recover from this year. So you will see a struggle in strawberries for probably the next 8 weeks till we can get into local, the weather's right for the spring, and we get the warm weather that we're it's going to be 60 degrees tomorrow. That's awesome. I don't think we hit 60 till June 1st last year.
Oh, wow.
So we get good weather, we'll be able to move into local berries sooner rather than later this year, I hope.
Yeah. How about chilies and peppers? Where are they hanging out?
Peppers are good. You're going to start to see the Canadian hothouse stuff ramp up now.
Ah.
They are now coming into their season, so you should start to see English cucumbers at a little bit better value. The color bell peppers, those should be beautiful with a nice thick wall and sweet, really good peppers. I also, one other thing is, I think we've kind of seen the peak of inflation, I think. Mm. We've been in an inflationary period for more than a year now, and not only just in produce, but just in food in general. Well,
sure.
Well, literally everything. Everything's been inflated. But as far as produce goes, we're seeing that a lot of these things are moderating. So I think we're past that ongoing going up and down. Now, I'm not saying there are not going to be a few items that are going to struggle. They always do based on supply. But as a general rule, I think we're going to see better things this spring than we did last spring as far as inflation and supply and all that. I think we're going to have a better spring, especially for those items that don't come out of, that aren't the row crops in the Central California district.
Yeah.
where all that rain has been.
Sure.
The beauty of that rain is it might be painful right now, but that rain has been bringing feet of snow to the Sierra Mountains.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing for the drought that California's been facing. They've been facing a decade-long drought.
Yeah.
And this snow, you know, all the rain just kind of runs off. And although it does help an aquifer a little bit, most of it runs off and just ends in the ocean with half the land with it. The snowpack is really what is doing a great job. They're getting a really good snowpack in the Sierras, and that should help that those aquifers, those wells come up and be a little bit better for growing.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the weather that we're having right now in California, the cooler temps and that we've had over the winter, will help the stone fruit season for June out of California.
Ah, okay. Well, that's good to hear. Well, we'll be talking more about stone fruit as we get closer and closer.
Yeah.
Okay, and one last thing before we wrap it up. How are avocados doing?
Avocados are outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, we've probably reached the peak where, you know, you're starting to see California ramp up now. And, you know, so prices have come up a little bit, you know, but we're nowhere near the level we were. We're in so much better shape than we were last year. Last year, we were selling avocados and almost selling them at cost for months at a time. Because there was a period last year we were paying nearly $100 a box for avocados. If we were to pass through all of that cost increase, avocados would just be unreachable for consumers.
Yeah.
So you just eat the cost difference and get by it. Now, this year, the costs are better. We're able to promote it a little more aggressively, have more sales on them. It's really good. The avocado situation is in great shape. In fact, I think we got a pretty good buy coming next week on an avocado, but don't quote me on it.
What's your favorite way to eat an avocado?
I like an avocado just right out of the skin. You just cut it in half and eat it. But my wife loves avocados. I bet we eat an avocado every day.
Yeah, we're close behind you, I think. I mean, they're fun just to cut open, pop the seed out, take your spoon to it, and if it's good, it's over, baby.
My wife does a thing, and I think I've talked about this before, 3 or 4 years ago, where she makes this fresh-made yogurt dill shrimp sauce and puts shrimp in it. So it's a real thick shrimp with just this yogurt dill. I don't know, whatever it is she makes. It tastes great is all I know. And then she'll stuff the avocado with that, and that's kind of a side salad.
Side salad.
It's really good. It's really good.
It almost sounds like a meal to me, maybe
well,
two
is.
Of those. That's great. Well, Joe Pulicicchio, thank you for being with us again today.
Well, thank you, Bob. I love it. This is awesome. Looking forward to doing this every month for this year, just because every year is different.
Yeah, and every month's different.
Yep, and it's all fun. Yeah. I mean, it's not always all good news, but you know what? That's what makes the produce business fun.
Yeah, and
it's not canned.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's important to share some of the challenges of what you face, and which transfers to what we see fresh on the shelves.
Yep.
Okay, all right. We will see you next month.
Yes, you will.
Okay, very good. And thank you for joining us for this edition of Eating Fresh on Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.